this morning. Can God? Can God? We want to say that we know God and know His will. We want to know His will for us. Then He tells us what to do and what He wants us to do, and then we have a hard time with that. This was Israel's problem when they were called out of Egypt and called to follow the Lord by faith. I think you did a bunch of things by faith in the last couple of weeks. However, these Israelites constantly doubted the power and the promises and the presence of God. Their entire attitude of their hearts was summed up in two words: can God? They could say, will God? See, there's a difference between can God and will God. When somebody says will God, there's a question of will He do it? But when somebody says can God, there's a question about whether He has the ability to do it. Amen? So these Israelites were asking, can God? And we that sit here this morning, sometimes we add an extra word to it. And we say, how can God? We go through things. And minister, maybe people around you were saying, how can God let this happen? And we doubt whether or not God can do it. And we just say, can God? They needed a lesson in trust. This morning, I want you to realize a lot of times we're just like those Israelites and we question, can God? Today, you already heard, I want to tell you and show you from the scriptures that God can. Amen? No matter what it is that you're going through, God can. You take those two words and turn them around from can God to God can. Amen? We still serve the Lord of glory. He is still Kings of Kings, and He is still able to do all the things that He's been able, always able to do. You see, God is not like us. You remember when we were 20 years old, we could run up and down, play ball, and do all these kind of things all day long and never get tired. But as we got older, our power, our pressure, all the things that we could do, it started dwindling down. But this God that we serve, He's just as powerful today as He was yesterday. And He's going to be as powerful forevermore. So the scripture today comes from Psalm 78, verses 12 to 20. It reads as follows. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the waters stand up like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against Him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding food they craved. They spoke about God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, He struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flow abundantly. But can He give us bread also? Can He supply meat for His people? Amen? I want to talk about the condition of those people. They were faithless. Again and again, scripture says in verse 41, again and again, they put God to the test. Here was a people who God called them by His name. He told the Israelites, these are My chosen people. Amen? They're his chosen people, but they put him through the test. Even after they had saw all of the things that he had done. Here was a people who should have trusted the Lord without reservation. Yet they seemed oblivious to the power of God in their midst. Isn't that just like us today? Instead of trusting God and living by faith, we worry and we fret. And it really doesn't have to be that way. I want to tell you now this morning that we got a God in whom we can trust without reservation and fear. Let us resolve to be challenged. Let us be resolved to be like Jesus when he challenged Thomas. And he said, don't be faithless, but believing. You see, Thomas didn't have the faith. All he had to do was believe. We're going to go through situations in our life where our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. But if you believe, see, nobody can take your belief away. There's certain things that we have that nobody can take from you. When you have faith, nobody can take your faith. When you believe, nobody can take away your belief. Amen? The only person that has the power to do that is you. So there's another choice that Christ has given us. The power to believe. Not only that, these people were forgetful. They forgot all the miracles that God had did on their behalf. They forgot how he had delivered them from Egypt by the plagues. They forgot how he had parted the Red Sea. They forgot how he parted the waters and made the waters pure for them to drink. They forgot how he had put their enemies on the run. They forgot how he had proven himself to be God and all-powerful all the time, again and again. They were forgetful of the mighty power of God they had witnessed in their lives. This is not something that was hearsay. This was not a fable that was passed down through generations. This was something that they witnessed their own selves. Again, this describes us. Amen? So I want to ask you this morning, how many times has God come through for you? How many times has God moved mountains in your life? How many times he parted the water and put up a wall? How many times has he lifted the veil of affliction and suffering in your life and allowed the light, the glory of his light, to brighten up your day? How many times have you been in a storm and he's spoken to you and he said, my child, this is just a storm. Knowing that he could take a storm and say, peace, be still. How many times when you didn't know how your needs were going to be met, and he met them? How many times has he done the impossible and proven himself to be God to you? How many times have God done that? And many times when something else comes up, we forgot that he did that. We forgot that God did that for us. Amen? We need to take a look back this morning and remember all the things that God has done for me and you. And if God did it then, if he did it then, he can do it again. He can do it again. Amen? And if you're faithful, you know he will do it for you again. We need to take inventory of all of these things and remember the things that the Lord has done for us and his power, because there's going to be a storm again in your life. And when that storm comes, you can just start writing that list. God helped me when I didn't have any money. He helped me when I didn't have a place to sleep. He helped me when I didn't have a job. He helped me when I was sick and they said I was going to die, and he healed me. He took my child when all the odds were against him, and he didn't let him go in a situation where he had no business being. He took my child when he was in front of the judge and gave him leniency when he should have been in jail for years. when you start reminiscing and start thinking about all the good things that God has done for you, you'll start forgetting about what's going on right now and remember that you serve a great God. Not only were these people forgetful, they were foolish. How can we stand and ask, can God? All the things that he's done, as powerful as he is, all the things that he has created, he is the creator. All the things that he has created, how can we ask, can God? Amen? When minister said that she was overwhelmed with everything, the thing that came in my mind, well, it was underwhelming to God. What's overwhelming to you is underwhelming to God. It ain't no big thing to him. Amen? But he don't downplay it because that's how you feel. But you, once you know you got a great God, you know that this thing is possible. Because all things are possible through him. Amen? These people were foolish. This is the same people that were in the wilderness. They were wandering around in Canaan. These were the same people that when they came across a race of people known as the Elkin, and these people were giants. Amen? Scripture says, and when they looked at the giants and they looked at themselves, they thought that they looked at themselves as grasshoppers. You know, when you look at the problems that the enemy will face in front of you, you got to know that it's a little problem. It's a grasshopper to God. Amen? And when God sends you out to do something, as a believer, what you should see is not giants, but you should see God. You should see God is looking at these things like they're small. Look at David. When David went to Goliath, Goliath looked at him, and he was calling the army, send somebody. And when he saw David, he started putting David down. And David got his 5 stones, and he ran towards the giant. When your problems start coming towards you, or standing up mocking you, are you going to just stand there? Are you going to retreat? Or are you going to run towards it? Let me tell you something. If you ever really been in a fight, a really big fight, and you run towards the people you get ready to fight, somebody's going to know you got a little, you're a little crazy. It's going to make them think twice. They're going to think that they must know something that I don't. When you run towards your problem and God is on your side, you know something that they don't know. Amen? We are foolish of this comparison today. Some problems in our lives are going to keep coming up. There's going to be problems in our personal lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's going to be problems here in the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. But wherever these problems that are going to be, the first thing we're going to say, well, how can God let that happen? We have to push that aside. Amen? Amen. We got to not doubt God and say, how can God let this happen? We have to know that God can. He already has and he already will do whatever it needs to be done. What about the character of their God? You see, when you say, can God, you're questioning the character of your God. You're not questioning the character of my God. You're questioning your God. You want me to break it down? Because we have a one-on-one relationship with him. Amen? Just like in your own marriage, you have a one-on-one relationship, at least you're supposed to, with your significant other, your mate, your wife, your husband. So when my wife wants to say something to me, she'll say, Philip, how can you? She don't say, Ricardo, how can you? That ain't your relationship, okay? She don't say to you, how can you, Brother Savage? She don't say, how can you, Deacon? She don't say, how can you, Deacon? She says it to me. In your relationship, when you say, How can you do that, God? Or can God do this for me? Or can you, God? That's on you. When you do that, you need to check your level of the relationship that you have with your God. Check the level of relationship that you have. Do you have a loving God? Is your God strong? Is your God all-powerful? Is there nothing that your God can do? Is impossible nothing to him? Is he greater than anything that can ever occur on this earth? He's all-powerful above the earth, on the earth, below the earth. That's your God. Check your relationship with your God. These Israelites, they prove about their God. But let me tell you something about my God. My God, time and time again, my God is always faithful and do what he promises he was going to do. My God hasn't changed. My God is still a God that keeps his word, and everything that he has promised, he will do. Now, there's some scriptures that bear that out. So if you don't know it, I'm going to give it to you. In Romans 4 and 21, it says, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. If God made you a promise, he has the power to do it. We live in an environment, we live in a world where people promise to do things and they don't even have the promise to do it. But our God has the power to do whatever it is that he promised. Amen? There's nothing to stop him. Hebrews 6 and 18 says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. It says God is impossible to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. It's not even his vocabulary. He don't even know what that word means. So we can be encouraged. It says the hope that is set before us. When he says hope that's set before us, when you have hope set before us, it's like when you set a table, it's already laid out. You understand what I'm saying? It's already, your plans are already laid out. All you have to do is have the hope, the faith, and the belief. It's already made out. The hope set up for me is already laid out. The hope set up for you is already laid out. All you got to do is believe and have faith. It's already laid out. Don't you like walking in some place and everything is already and set up for you? Don't you feel like a king and a queen when you go to sit down? When we have birthday parties or anniversaries or whatever, we prepare. Somebody prepares, and when you get there, you feel so good because everything is already laid out. In your life, wherever God wants you to go, if you're obedient and listen, it's already laid out. Scripture says, in the hope set before us, already laid out. When you doubt God, you're doubting that he has already laid out what he has in store for you. When you doubt God, you're already doubting the promises he made to you. If you listen to scripture, it says he can't lie. If he says he laid it out for you, it's laid out. Numbers 23 and 19. It says God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's Numbers 23 and 19. Amen? I'm giving you this scripture so you can put it down, because when you get into a challenge, you can look at this, because God is not human that he should lie. He's not a human that he should change his mind. Can I ask a question? What makes you change your mind in a situation? What makes you change your mind? We change our mind because circumstances might change. The weather might change. Our finances might change. Amen. Sometimes it looks a little too hard. It's more than what we bargained for. Amen. And we change our mind. But there's nothing too difficult for God, so he don't have to change his mind. There's no finances that he can't get because it's all his, that he has to change his mind. He don't care about the weather because he can control the weather. So he don't have to change his mind because of that. Somebody asked him, stop the sun so I can win this war. He stopped the sun. Moses says, we got to get to the other side. He stopped the sea. This is what your God can do. So when he makes up his mind for you and the enemy puts something in your way, he opens up the door for you to walk in when the door is closed. Because he told you he was going to do that. The enemy can lay all the things he wants up against that door, but God is going to kick it in for you. We like to look at tangible things like houses and cars and jobs. But I'm telling you right now, even your health, if he promised you he's going to take care of something, he's going to do it. And there's nothing that he can't do. I always say, God made these bodies. You know how to correct them. I say that every morning and every night. No matter what it is that I'm going through, no matter what it is that my wife is going through, I say, God, you made it. I don't care what the doctors say. You made it. You don't have to need a telescope or microscope or whatever kind of scopes they got. You can see in there. He's a healer. He's a restorer. Look at God's performance throughout all the history. This is what he said. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. In verse 12, it says, he did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt. Throughout all the history, Israel has enjoyed God's presence. But time and time again, he had to demonstrate his power in the midst of the people. Amen? What he's saying in those scriptures is that God has demonstrated all of these things in their descendants. One of the things Minister Jandel is able to tell her grandchildren, there was a time that my back was up against the wall. I didn't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. But my God pulled me through. I only had a certain amount of time. Man had given her a certain amount of time. But time means nothing to God. She got it done ahead of time. God used those people to do things ahead of time. It was so impressive. Somebody that's not in church had to say, my God, it had to be God. Don't you know there are situations in your life that when you go through things, there's no other way but it has to be God. And those folks on the outside are going to remind you that it had to be God, just in case you forget. Just in case you don't understand what the performance that God worked in your life. Just in case you don't understand the miracle. Amen? Sometimes it'll take a little kid to tell you, oh, God did this for you to understand it was God. God's power. Let me tell you, God's power is bigger and stronger than every obstacle they faced. God proved himself to be greater than their thirst and their hunger. He proved himself that he can overcome the powers and everything that they faced. You see, when you got a friend like God, we say he's our friend, right? Now, let's go back to who we are. We put a lot of pressure on our friends, our personal friends. We expect them to step up to the plate whenever we want them to. But you know what? Your friends always draw a line. They draw a line. No matter how good a friend that is. Your friend could be your husband and your wife, but you know what? They draw a line. Sometimes you can ask your wife for some money and she... Sometimes that what's mine is yours and yours is mine. That person's supposed to be your best friend. That's the person you made an oath to. That's the person you said, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us. But there's a line. Am I right? I just want that to sink in a little bit. God only has one line, and it goes from you to Jesus to him. Okay? All you have to do is do the protocol. Jesus to him. Amen? That line, you break that line. He never breaks that line with you. He never put things in front of you that says, he never tells you, I can't. He says, I can. He doesn't say, well, you know, you're asking a little bit too much. I'm going to have to, you know, leave you alone. He don't do that to you. Do you do that to him? Does God ask us too much? Does God ask you too much and then you turn around and you draw the line? Huh? You draw the line. And then you draw the line until you need something from. But he still doesn't throw you back like your friends. He don't almost curse you out and ask you what you're calling him for. He don't do that. He's always on that main line. Tell him what you want, right? Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Amen? Tell him what you want. He don't say, oh, here this person go again. You know? He don't look at his little call ID because he don't need it. And say, oh, it's him and it's her again. He don't do that. He don't need call ID. He was looking at people calling on him before they called. I told you, everything that we do is out the Bible. Right? Call IDs out of the Bible. Jesus was already looking at that. He knew who was calling. Amen? What about his patience? Oh, I need to hit home right now. It says in verse 38, yet he was merciful. How many times people do things to you and you can say that you were merciful? See, because that first word in the scripture, yet, that means that something happened before that. Something happened before that. That whatever happened before that, mercy shouldn't have been that next sentence. Amen? Minister, I need you to do me a favor. Could you get the a scripture or two before that? I'm in verse 38. Psalm 78. I'm in verse 38. We're talking about God's patience this morning, part of this awesome person we call God. Amen? It says, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. So these Israelites did something. They challenged God, they ignored him, they sinned and sinned again. And it says in verse 38, yet he was merciful. What does it say in 37? Mm-hmm. 37. Mm-hmm. Come on up. You see, this was a problem. I'm going to read that again. It says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You see, this was a heart problem. You ever, people go to the hospital, go to the doctor, they have heart problems. Heart problems are very serious, right? You go to the doctor, they put all kind of stuff on you to see what kind of heart problems you got. Right, Sister Emily? She work in the hospital, she know. They got all of these tubes and, you know, they don't let people come making loud noises around you. You know, they want certain people can come. It's a heart problem. These people had a heart problem. Amen? There was a heart problem. Their heart was not with God. And then the scripture says, yet. You know, when people are not right with you and they get to you, yet, do you say yet you're still merciful? When you're still merciful, somebody start calling you names. They start calling you a fool. Sometimes you show love to people. And they go overboard, and you show mercy to them over and over again. Your friend calls you a fool. They don't deserve that love, that grace, and mercy. Amen? Well, God is not a fool. He just loves us so much that no matter what you do, yet he shows his mercy. And we do some ugly things. Some real ugly things. Yet he was merciful towards us. That's what grace and mercy is about, because yet besides we don't deserve it, he still gives it to us anyway. Amen? God continued to show himself strong on behalf of his people. Let me tell you this morning, God still shows himself strong on your behalf. Nobody will ever tell you that your God is weak. You got a strong God. No matter how much faith you lack, he is still strong. He is still on the throne. The Bible tells us many a time he turned in anger. Sometimes we get so angry at people, we turn in anger. God got so angry at the Israelites that he turned in anger many a time. But yet, he still showed them mercy. He was patient with them. Thank God we serve a patient God. How many times have he demonstrated patience to you and me? I know he has. I know he has. Can I see your hands if he has? If you ain't got your hands raised, I need to come and find out what's your secret. I want to find out why you never did anything wrong. What is the power that you got? I know that we got a church full of people who were gunslingers. But yet, I know we got a church full of people who used to curse and then cussed. But yet, I know we got some fornicators in here, but yet. I know we got some thieves in here, but yet. I know we got some people in here who don't care about other people, that hate people, or you used to, but yet. But yet he showed grace and mercy towards us. So when we sing songs and praise and worship, you need to think about those but yets that he showed you grace and mercy. When you come in here, you wake up each and every day. It was a but yet for you. Because he didn't have to, but he did. When you go to the doctor and you're cured, it's a but yet moment for you. Because he didn't have to. So when you get in moments where you're under some stress, discomfort, don't ask God, can God? Know that God can. You got to have confidence in God. You got to call what he's done in the past to the forefront. You know, that's why they call it a memory. Memory is back here somewhere. You got to go back into the recesses of your memory and put it in the forefront so you can see it. Because when you see it, you will believe it. Call to your mind what his past works are. And remember, no matter what, you still got to carry out his commandments. You see, what happens is that we get in situations and then we don't want to do nothing no more. I'm not going to do nothing till God handles this for me. Who are you to command God to do something for you? Who are you holding out on? You holding out on you. You holding out on you. You want God to work in your favor. You want to ask God a favor. But you don't want to return the favor. And believe you me, he don't need your favor. You know how people think that you need, you know, people like you, that you need them? Here's the ouch moment for today. God don't need you. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you when you were in your mother's womb. He chose you. Now, if you think that you're returning a favor to him, I'm here to tell you that you're not. You just got to know that you're chosen and highly favored. So when God does something for you, just know that you're chosen and highly favored. And even when you go through something, God chose you, and you need to know that you're chosen and highly favored because he can't do everything with everybody. Say that again, Pastor. He can't do everything with everybody because you were not built with the capacity to go through, amen, what Minister Walker just went through. That's why chose her. And when he chose her, he did some things that showed that she's highly favored. Somebody else might start going through that and they'll be chosen and start cursing and running away from God, saying, how can God? Ain't those little words amazing? Can God? God can. How can God? It's how you look at things. It's how you interpret things. It's what the words that you trust in. It's the words that you say. Is your words have power. Somebody comes up to you with something, you say, my God can. My God can. My God can. Even when it looks bad, my God can. Don't you know that when Daniel was in that den of lions, he knew that his God could. My God can. And what did he say? But if not. See, when we live our lives for God, we know that he can. But if not, it's still in the will of God. It's still in the will of God. Everything is not the way that you imagined it to be. Everything is not in the way that you interpret God to do to show you favor. Because when you think that he's not showing you favor and he's showing you favor, it don't look like it sometimes. But the Bible tells me that we have to wait on the Lord. And victory is not the racism won by the swift. It's won by the one that endureth to the end. So when you have an understanding of faith and belief that God can, all you have to do is wait to the end to see how God is going to bring you through something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was three. The fire hot. Hotter than hot. But they were, when they looked in the fire, they didn't see three. They saw four. And let me tell you, the four wasn't sitting around like this. Oh, it's hot in here. I can't wait. They wasn't doing that. They were dancing. They were dancing around the fire. They were dancing around because there was joy unspeakable in the midst of all of them flames. Sometimes in the midst of what you're going through, don't sit down. Start dancing. Woo! Start dancing. David ran to Goliath. You start dancing when the enemy start trying to sit on you. He's going to know something's wrong with this person. This person's got something greater than me. He'll turn around and say, it must be God. The widow of Zephra, the prophet told her, go get what you got. Feed me. She said, but this is all I got. But she was obedient when everybody else. Can you imagine her sitting around watching this man, this prophet, eat her little bit of food? Next 3 years, when there was a famine, she was eating. Everybody else was starving. And she continued to eat. She continued to have plentiful. Don't you know when you give God a little bit, he gives you a lot? He gives you more than you can handle. Everybody else is wondering how you can do this. But God is good. He's merciful. He's plentiful. You can't beat God given. You can't even try. How can God? Can God? God can. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the disciples on the ship? Jesus laying around sleeping. And they're saying, how can God? How can this man sleep? All the storms going around. Ship going back and forth. Have you ever been on a ship on the water and it's going back and forth like that? Hallelujah. You can't sleep because you're going like this. Even if you're trying to sleep, your head is going to be hitting something back and forth because your head is. How can you sleep? Unnatural power. Unnatural power. He sat up there and he slept. He slept. Don't we think God is sleeping when we're going through something? Where is he? I'm going through this right now. He must be sleeping. Let me wake him up. He's sleeping because it ain't time to do what he's got to do yet. It ain't time for him to come out for you. Hallelujah. When they shook him, he says, what are you not? You don't believe me. You know all the things that I've done. You don't believe. Oh, hallelujah. He says, peace be still. Let me go on back to sleep. Hallelujah. Overwhelming to you, it's underwhelming to God. Hallelujah. God can. Can you say God can? God can. God can. I know that he can because I remember a day that I was doomed to die. I was living in sin, condemned to die. I know a lot of people looked at me and didn't think nothing ever good was going to come out of me again. But God can. But God can. Let me tell you, God can. I said to myself, somebody's trying to kill me, I'm going to kill myself. But then God shook me. You know, you could talk about how you want to kill yourself and how you want to die. It amazes me, all these people who say they want to commit suicide. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. You ain't going to talk about it. They get up on the ledge and like, don't come after me. Don't come get me. Don't come get me. I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. Somebody going to commit suicide. They're going to go and do it. They ain't going to talk about it. They're going to do it. That was me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's true. But see, I know the power of prayer. My mother prayed for me. Even when I didn't have sense enough. Grew up in the church. But instead of having sense, I just had nonsense. My daddy prayed for me. My sister prayed for me. You know what? Y'all prayed for me because Bishop had y'all praying for me. That's the power of prayer. Amen. You have people praying for you. You don't even know that they're praying for you. All you know is when you're getting ready to go out with your nonsense, that there's something going on that don't let you get all into where you was getting ready to go. And if you never experienced it, I'm telling you, I'm a witness today. I'm a witness. I told my father, I'm here tonight. Let me hold your Mercedes. He believed me, but he didn't believe me. But he was praying that I did. But if not, they were praying for me. And I'm telling you, as I was walking to where I was going, this light shined down. It was about 10 o'clock at night. It shined down. And if that was not the power, if that was not the Holy Spirit convicting me about the nonsense I was getting ready to do, I don't know who it was. And you know, when you have God in your life, it's not something that you could just throw out. You can't evict him. You might not be saved, but you can't evict him. Once he's in, he's in. He's in your thought patterns because that's right and wrong. That's why we say train up a child. Train up a child. Not only when they get old, but when they get stupid. I might have to add an addendum to that scripture. Not only when they get old, but when they get stupid, they'll know. They'll know. They'll remember what mama said, grandma said, auntie said, uncle said. They'll remember what papa said. They'll remember that stuff. Amen? Sometimes it's not always about the now. It's about the later. I'm the now, but then I was the later. You know the candy now and later? I was the later part of the now and later. She was the now, always been the now. I was the later. Let me close with you have this thought in mind, that God can. Can we stand this morning?